Chris Sarandon, I'm sure you've heard that clip 1,000 times, but thank you for your performance in A Princess Bride. It was so
Well,
great.
thank you, Lisa. It was such a wonderful experience that it's hard to accept thanks for it when I was rewarded so much just for the actual making of the movie. But then, you know, its legacy has continued for, you know, I don't want to say how many years, but at any rate, it's been a long time, and it was an extraordinary time in my life, and it continues to be.
Well, what did you? I'm just curious because you see lines on a page, but you created a character that was a lot more than the lines on the page. Were you directed to make the character the way that it was, or was that your creativity that made the character who he was?
Well, very often, and when you talk about the lines on the page, we had, first of all, a script from the great, great William Goldman, who is in Hollywood history considered one of the great screenwriters in all of Hollywood, and, you know, who wrote Marathon Man, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, a number of Academy Awards for his screenplays. And this was a passion project of Bill Goldman's from the time he approached his daughters to say, "I want to write something. What do you want me to write?" And one of them said, "About a princess," and the other one said, "About a bride." And it became something that was so important to Bill as he was writing it that literally, when Wesley died in the script, that is, when he was writing it, he remembers walking into his bathroom and weeping. And it became more of a totemic moment in his life when he met Rob Reiner, and they realized that this was something that they both had not only a passion for, but that Rob had the right approach for it. And so I have to credit Rob Reiner. I have to credit Bill Goldman. And also, when I finished my audition, in a very serious scene, Rob burst out laughing. And I thought, oh, I get it. That comedy is serious business. And that's essentially the approach that we all took. And so I think that everybody was kind of primed and ready to go. I also have to give Rob credit for extraordinary casting.
Unbelievable casting.
Yeah, it's an
Unbelievable
amazing
that
cast.
I know. And wasn't that the debut of Robin Wright? Was that her name at the time?
Yes, Robin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, I mean, yeah.
Her
I
first
remember
big
that.
movie, by the
Her
way. She
first
was
big
on a
movie.
soap opera, and she took time off from the soap and had to add time to her contract in order to do the movie, and never done a feature motion picture, I don't think. So it was an extraordinary debut, obviously.
Obviously. And it was, oh, yeah, it was such a great movie. It was so creative. But your role in particular was done with such sort of sardonic humor. It just popped out. It just
Well,
elevated it. It
thank you
was.
very much. I again give credit. A lot of it's in the writing, but I'll give myself credit too. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So I was reading, we're chatting with Chris Sarandon, and I was reading that you were born in a very poor circumstance in West Virginia,
Well,
and I
I
couldn't
wasn't
believe that.
in a poor circumstance. My father owned a restaurant in the town, but he was an immigrant who came to this
Okay.
country with nothing and established this restaurant in a small coal mining town in West Virginia. Yes.
And you're Greek, so of course,
Yes.
food and restaurants and Greeks. And I won't go to a diner unless I can certify it's been owned by a Greek. I mean, forget about it.
Good for you.
So, I mean, yeah, you come from a heritage that makes the
Yes.
best food there is. That's my favorite food.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
So.
I worked in the restaurant from the time I was 9 years old, which w sort of precipitated, you know, I had a as many of us who were actors were, I was languishing during the pandemic because nobody was working. And my dear brother-in-law said to me, "Why don't you do a podcast?" And I thought, "Well, what do I do?" And he said, come on, you know, whenever you come here, you cook." They live in LA, and we obviously live in
Oh.
Connecticut. And you grew up in a restaurant, you're Greek, do it about food. And I started thinking, well, there's so many food podcasts around. What's the slant that's going to be close to me? And, you know, it immediately came to my mind. I grew up in a restaurant.
Sure.
So how about talking to people about what it was like for them growing up around food? What it was like around the dinner table, what their favorite meals were. Was mom a cook? Was dad a cook? If not, what were the circumstances around your food experience when you were a kid, and how does that carry over into your adult life. And the answers I get are just extraordinary. The stories that spin out, the people, the characters that come out, which is really what the podcast is about.
Well, food is such a common, I mean, it's probably the most common thing. That's why I think Anthony Bourdain's No Reservations really took off, because all of a sudden we were getting to know people in Vietnam through sitting down at a meal with them, and it became much more than that, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's an extraordinary observation, which is such a truism, but at the same time we forget it because we take it for granted because we do it three times a day.
Exactly.
But we don't always do it with our families, and also what's important to me is about the memory of those times when we were younger and what comes out of that.
So we're chatting with Chris Sarandon. So when you were raising your kids with, I'm guessing it was your second wife, right? The one that you had the three kids with, or maybe
yes,
you
ma'am.
Raised them with your
Correct.
Third. I'm not sure about your own personal
yeah.
life. But how much of your passion and love and skill with food did you exhibit around them in a career where you're probably traveling a lot and on sets? Like, do you think that they picked up your love of food when they were growing up?
If folks get a chance to go to my podcast, which is on chrissarandon.com, all the links to the podcast, plus we also record videos, so they're also on YouTube. I did a podcast with my three kids because they're my grown children, because my son, who's a graduate of the French Culinary Institute, and worked in high-end New York City restaurants for a long time before he moved on to another career, but still is there. Both of my daughters are brilliant cooks, very creative in the kitchen, and I think the reason is because their mom and I both included them in the kitchen rituals, not just sitting down to the meal, but also the preparation. So they all were sort of not inundated with it, but they were infused with it with a kind of enthusiasm, because kids love to help.
They do.
And now I do it with my grandchildren.
Do you? How fun.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. When Papu, which is, you know, grandpa in Greek. When
I love
Papu
that, Papu.
Cooks,
what
they're
a great
there.
Name that is, Papu. I have to save that name. That's a great name.
They always help me, especially making pancakes in the morning. They love to stand and, you know, break the egg yolks and be part of the creative process.
Yeah, totally. I'm so glad when I was – I was always the one in my family that made the big Jewish holidays, you know, Rosh Hashanah and Passover and
all of it,
and we would have 25 people. And I have one daughter and one son. My son, who adores eating, not that helpful in the kitchen, but my daughter – and it may sound sexist, but it's true – although I did teach my son to make chocolate chip cookies, and that was really good. But the point is she was interested enough – so now she is a young bride herself, right? And she now makes challah from scratch, which I never did. She's taking everything to a new level, Chris. And so now we get to go to her house for the holidays. I'm so happy.
Oh, great.
So happy.
Yeah, and I was going to say that must give you a great deal of satisfaction to know that she's carrying on the traditions
that
you started, and in my case, that my parents instilled in me and theirs in them.
Right.
So there's an ancestral line that occurs, as well as a culinary line.
There is, and there's something about. Tell me in your family if it's true, because we always have the same food, okay?
Yeah.
And the people at the table.
Holidays.
Exactly. Yeah. If they don't get the chicken soup with matzo balls, they're not coming, right? Because that's what they're coming for.
Absolutely.
And so that, you know, that sort of plays into a tradition of a family, right?
Oh, absolutely. There are two sort of main holidays that I celebrate with my grown children and the grandchildren. Thanksgiving, which we do here at our house in Connecticut, in which not just their children come, but also their mom, her husband, their children, the in-laws. We had 30 people at Thanksgiving this year, and everybody cooks.
Oh.
I do the turkeys. My ex-wife's husband does the carving. She brings the salad. She brings the sweet potatoes. My daughters make a vegetable, appetizers. It's a community effort. And so it's interesting, because one of my daughters mentioned in the podcast I did with them, she said, you know, it's about the food, but it's more about all of us getting together and this community moving as one. And the feeling that we're all a family, even though we are essentially a modern American family in that there's a divorce in the family, but the family has remained together.
Yeah, that says a lot about you and your ex-wife, too, obviously.
Yes, yeah, she's a wonderful woman, and my wife now, Joanna Gleason, who's very close friends with my ex, actually.
Is that right?
Yep, yeah, they're good pals.
That's very cool. We're chatting with Chris Sarandon. By the way, trivia question, my audience will not be able to call in to answer unless they want to. Your father-in-law, right?
Yes.
Was known to households around the world, certainly
absolutely.
In this country. And when you married Joanna Gleason, was he still alive and well?
Yes. Yes, I knew her dad, Monty Hall.
Mm-hmm.
We can speak the name.
Let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. Oh, my goodness. Right.
Yes. I knew Monty for, at least 10 or 12 years before he passed away, as well as his wife, in some quick succession. And my parents by then were gone, so they almost became sort of surrogate parents to me, and I love them dearly. They're extraordinary people, both of them.
He was really something in his heyday. Boy,
yes.
He was an American.
And by the way, Joanna's mom was an Emmy Award-winning television producer as well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember the Golda movie that was done on I think it was CBS, that starring Ingrid Bergman. About Golda Meir.
Oh, I do remember that movie.
Joanna's mom was the producer of that.
Wow.
And won an Emmy for it. Yeah.
Wow. And, of course, Joanna Gleason, Star of Into the Woods and a million other fantastic
movies. Tony Award winner.
Yeah.
She also, by the way, has a movie coming out that she wrote and directed called The Grotto, which will be coming out soon. We'll keep everybody posted about that as well.
So the two of you are still extremely creative.
We're still humming.
Mm.
Yep. You know. As Carl Reiner said, you know, when you get up in the morning, oh, I'm still alive. Well,
still alive. Pinch me up. Boy, do we miss him. 98, though. God bless.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Well, another in a line of extraordinary entertainment figures.
Unbelievable. Well, Chris Sarandon, I'm so happy to get to know you. Are you going to be in theater, any place around here that we should be knowing about?
Well, I'm not going to be in doing any theater because I'm so involved in this podcast, but I do have coming up in January on the 21st a live podcast with Jacques Pepin.
Oh,
yeah, the world-famous chef who's going to be doing the podcast with me, talking about his growing up around food. And then he's also going to do a book signing of his new book, The Art of the Chicken, at the theater, at the Sacred Heart University Community Theater.
Oh, that's such a fun place now.
Yeah, yeah.
They've completely revamped it. It's so great.
Yeah, and we'll be doing my podcast, Cooking by Heart, which is, by the way, if any of your listeners are interested, they can go to chrissarandon.com. All the podcast outlets are on there. They can just click the link, or they can go to YouTube and watch. I've had amazing guests. I have Ken Page, who was Oogie Boogie in The Nightmare Before Christmas, one of my cast members. I did a Fright Night group. Carol Kane is coming up. Carrie Elwes is on the podcast. Michael Patrick King from Sex and the City. As well
great
as any number of other wonderful guests.
Ken Page was phenomenal in the all black cast version of Guys and Dolls, by the way.
Oh yes, and come on, you know his history. Cats. Ken was in the original cast of Cats. His podcast is going up next Tuesday.
Oh, how exciting. All right, so I'm going to listen to all the podcasts. I'll try and get on January 21st to see Jacques Pepin with you
because
that would
be
so much
something.
Fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. I want to see the whole setup with the live podcast and the whole thing, how you're doing
it. Yeah, it's great. And that theater is just gorgeous, what they've done with that theater.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, well, Chris Sarandon, fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on. You're welcome on any time.
Is
your wife.
You, Lisa.
And I'm so glad that you decided to chat with us today.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and hi to everybody out in Connecticut. I love this place. I love living here.
Me too.
Okay,
bye-bye. Thanks. Our next guest, Chris Ruggiero, who is making a name for himself. If you were watching some of our daytime TV in the New York area in the last week, you might have seen him appear all over the place. He is going to be at the Richfield Playhouse on December 15th for a Christmas concert, and he is lighting up my own social media feed with lots of different postings with our dear friend Darlene Love. Chris Ruggiero, welcome to the show today. Hello.
Hey, good morning. Thanks a million for having me.
It's a pleasure. So you have to explain to me, you're doing a concert at the Richfield Playhouse on the 15th, but I'm seeing
Yes.
you in my feed all the time with Darlene Love. Did you guys do an album together?
So I did a Christmas album, and Darlene actually did a duet with me. So there was one song on the album that I wasn't quite sure what to do with. And when Darlene and I met up for lunch in New York City at the Palm, which is her favorite restaurant, she asked me what I was doing, and I said, you know, I'm making a Christmas album, but there's this one song I'm not sure what to do with. And she said, well, let me listen to it. So she took the song home, and in a couple of days, she called us back, and she said, you know what? I think we should do a duet together. And you could have knocked me over with a feather. I was so excited. And so we recorded a song together, which is on the album, Grown Up Christmas List, which you were just playing, and we sang on Good Morning America 2 days ago.
Yeah, you guys have really been making it. Congrats to you for all the publicity
Thanks so
surrounding
much.
It. Yeah, it's very exciting. Wonderful. And
Thank
you're,
you.
What, 23, 25 years old? You're sort of a kid, right?
I'm
you're
only
young.
23. That's it.
23. That's what I thought. So that's so exciting for you because, you know, Darlene Love, she fought the good fight. Mariah Carey wanted to be Miss Christmas, and Darlene is like, excuse me, there are a couple of others of us around here who also sing Christmas
yes.
songs. Yeah, that was funny.
Yes, Darlene yeah. is the original queen of Christmas. There's no yeah. doubt about it.
So, Chris, you have been described by others as somebody who is a little bit of a throwback to a prior generation of singers and crooners. And tell us about what kind of music you gravitate towards.
Sure. Well, you know, I grew up listening to the music of the 50s, 60s, and 70s that I was introduced to by my grandfather, because my grandfather used to sing on the street corners of the Bronx like a lot of old school Italians did back in the 1950s. But, you know, I don't just love the music of that time period. I really love music that tells a story, you know, music that's timeless, that really never goes out of style. So in my show, sure, I sing songs from the 50s and 60s, 70s, but there are also songs in my show that were written only 2 years ago that have the same exact meaning, the same sentiment. And so that's basically the kind of music I like. I just love songs that tell a really good story.
I think Sinatra was the master at that.
Oh, he sure was.
And you know what I also love about Sinatra, which I think is something that most singers don't do any longer. After every song he always sang, he always thanked the songwriters.
You're right. He did do a lot of that, and he thanked the arrangers quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch videos of him, you'll see where he thanked Charlie Colello a lot. He'll say this is a Charles Colello arrangement. And I'm honored because Charlie Colello arranged a lot of my music. He arranged the whole album for me and a bunch of Christmas songs for me as well. So we have a lot of arrangements by Charlie. And it's the same Charlie who arranged for Frank Sinatra and Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons and Barbara Streisand and all the way on down the line.
That's a thrill. That means that he really thinks you've got the chops. How long have you
Charlie,
been singing, Chris?
Think highly of each other.
Yeah.
Well,
how long have you been singing?
Sure. Well, you know, I really started at 18 years old when I was on a PBS special. And I never knew that I could sing, but some family friends of mine did because someone told me that there was this production company looking for young singers to sing the older classics. And I sent in a video to this company, and they called back a couple of days later and invited me to go down to Asbury Park, New Jersey. And so I go down to Asbury Park, and I thought I was just going to sing on a rock and roll show, you know. Well, next thing you know, there's cameras all over the place, and it turns out that I was going to be on PBS, which I really had no idea about. I don't know if I missed something while TJ, the producer, was talking to me or what, but turns out it was a whole PBS special with cameras and everything. And after that, I just started to do more and more shows and take it more seriously over the years. But really, over the last 2 years is when I decided this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life.
Do you train to improve your voice? In other words, what started as sort of a natural love and talent, do you now train it to go to a professional level?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I train my voice every day. I do warm-ups and whatnot to keep myself in shape. I mean, it's just like going to the gym and working out your muscles.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have a vocal coach, and my vocal coach is Bucky Hurd of the Righteous Brothers.
No way. That's pretty
yeah,
cool.
So he's a great singer, and why not choose the best, right?
Absolutely. That's how you learn. If you can get people of that talent, of that kind of resume, to be able to coach you, it's much more than the vocal coaching. You're going to be getting an education in the entertainment career.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, that's thrilling. Chris, where did you grow up? We're chatting with Chris Ruggiero. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Somers, New York, which is only 20 minutes from my show in Ridgefield. So I kind of feel like it's a show at home, you know, which is always my favorite kind of show, because I get to see a lot of friends and family and teachers that I haven't seen in years. And I know there are going to be a lot of people there that I haven't seen in a while. That means so much to me. So I'm really looking forward to the show in Ridgefield.
Oh, yeah, it'll be a wonderful hometown crowd. I know Somers. We actually made a bid on a house, to buy a house in Somers in 1989. And
wow.
But in the end, we didn't do it, and we ended up in Westport. But and that's because, but we were going to live in Somers, but we sort of chickened out. It was a beautiful 2-acre parcel. They were just building up Somers a little bit. But we chickened out a little bit because it was very remote, at least 35 years ago. It was very remote.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It still is,
but
a
beautiful.
Little bit, but it's a great place to
But
grow
beautiful,
up.
Great place to grow up. They happen to have a great science research program in Somers. Which I know very well in the high school. Yeah, they do a great job. So anyway, so Chris Ruggiero, so tell us a little bit about the show that you envision for December 15th at the Ridgefield Playhouse. What's the show going to be like?
You know, it's going to feel like an old school Christmas, a vintage, homey, warm, fuzzy Christmas show, full of all the songs that everybody knows and loves, you know, Sleigh Ride and Christmas Baby Please Come Home, Darlene song. And It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, just to name a couple of the songs that I'll be singing. And I'll also be singing some non-Christmas songs as well for my other albums. But it's good. We're going to just have a really, really good time. And the audience, I can guarantee, is going to really get into the Christmas spirit if they're not already feeling like it's Christmas. So we're just going to have a great time together. And I encourage everyone to just sit back, relax, and enjoy all the Christmas music.
And for 2023... What's your career goal for 2023, Chris? What would you like to see happen to your career in 2023?
Well, you know, I would love to perform even more and in front of more people, because for me, singing is about making people happy. I love looking out off the stage and seeing the smiles on people's faces. And to me, if I can do that on even a bigger scale, in front of a bigger audience and in bigger theaters, that would just make me so happy and warm my heart, because I could just make more and more people happy. So I would love to see my audience expand and grow even more.
And you have an agent and people that are walking around now trying to book you?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people around me. I have a very big team and lots of people answering phones and dialing and whatnot.
That's wonderful. So great. Yeah. Have you ever thought about competing in one of the national talent contests like The Voice or something like that?
And no, to tell you the truth, you know, I years ago I thought about it when I was first really starting out, but you know, I think I have a great audience now. My Facebook actually reached a few million people last year.
Wow! How did you do that? That's amazing, Chris. How did you hire somebody for a social media strategy? How did you get to a few million people on Facebook?
Not at all. And I'm actually misspeaking on a few. It was over 100 million people commented or reached my Facebook page last year, and it's just me posting what I'm doing. You know, posting singing videos. And if it's not about singing, it's just about me, about who I am as a person. And so my audience got to really know me. And I hate to call them audience or fans. I call them all family now, everyone on Facebook and everyone that comes to my shows. But that's just how it expanded, by, you know, posting inspirational quotes and just stuff like that, just to make people happy, you know.
It's great. It's a great strategy. People want it. They want to be uplifted. I firmly believe that. I think you're onto something very real. Chris Ruggiero, what a pleasure to get to know you. Thank you so much for coming on the Lisa Wexler Show today. Have fun at the Ridgefield Playhouse.
Much,
I'm sure it'll be a sellout. And we'll be watching your career with a lot of interest. Thank you, Chris. Thanks for coming on.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.